Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How about that ending of today's reading? Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. What stuff happened? Why wasn't it written down? I don't know about you, but I'd like to know. Really, this is the biggest tease in history. But still, for some reason, I believe in Jesus and I follow Jesus. And I thank God for that. There's a lot of unexpected stuff going on in the gospel lesson and also in the epistle. So if you look back at the passage from Acts, you will see the prime piece of evidence that people cite that says the Bible is a communist book. The Bible is socialism incarnate. No, it is not. There is no discussion of economics here. None. But what's going on? Because there's talk about people selling their homes and all their goods and no one needing anything. And all the followers of Jesus were cared for. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now, you remember what happened last week? Anybody? Easter? That was really big news. Now, we're accustomed to Easter coming around every year in a liturgical cycle. And we sing our songs that morning, ring our bells. We're excited at coffee hour. Maybe have a nice meal with family and friends later that day. And then we return to our normal routine on Monday. Nothing has changed. But imagine you were alive 2,000 years ago, and you were one of the disciples. And you saw what happened. And you were one of those people who was curious, who was interested. Jesus' resurrection changed everything. Now, these followers of Jesus we read about in the book of Acts, they know that, and they are trying to respond to what God has done in Jesus and the resurrection. They are trying to lead their lives in a new way. That sounds pretty good. And this isn't an original observation, but community is important. Now, I'm not saying that the state needs to be responsible for us. Community, us, caring for one another. And I have seen how people in this congregation take care of one another, how they pray for one another. And that's good. That's what Jesus told us to do. So in many churches on this Sunday, the pastor would not be present. It's called a low Sunday. I would take the week off. The choir wouldn't be singing. Why do we call this a low Sunday? Have we already worked through the implications of Easter that no one needs to hear the message? And I could preach the Easter message again today, and I could do it next week, and the week after, and the week after, and all through the year. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is risen. Really. Now, some of you may be sitting there and saying, okay, Steve's reading from the preacher's playbook. But this is really important. Now, people in this community can take care of ways big and small. So I'm going to call out Corinne Erskine for a shout out right now. And Corinne recommended that I watch a TV show, which doesn't sound like a big deal. But the show she wanted me to watch was The Chosen. And I didn't get around to watching it for a long time. And then Rachel and I started watching it last week. And even though I know the story, it's a story of Jesus and the disciples, I've read it in scripture, it is really well done. The casting of all the characters is freakily good. Thomas appeared in the episode that we watched yesterday. Nothing like I imagined him for reading scripture. Of course, scripture doesn't tell us much about Thomas. All we know is that he doubted. We know nothing about his profession. We know nothing about his appearance. We know nothing about how he spoke or what he liked to do. And this creation of backstory is helpful in relating to the characters of the gospel. But that is a community taking care of one another. Now, I'm not going to say you show your love for one another by telling each other to binge watch the latest program you've seen on Hulu or Apple TV. But you can ask how one another is doing. And mean it. And I thank the people who brought our treats for coffee hour. You show people you care by bringing treats. You show people you care by listening. And I've said this before, you're a good preaching congregation. You listen. I can see it in your faces. Now, whether you take anything away from what I say, or you just like the sound of my voice, I can't tell you. But my hope is that what I'm preaching resonates at some level. And so I'll say it again. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is risen today. Is that a thumbs up, Pete? So think about that. What does it mean for Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be risen today? What does it mean to each of you? Now, I'm not going to call on you. This isn't high school. I could be me now and call on Bob or Chris because you're sitting towards the back, place where we think we can hide in class. But our instructors know who we are. And they can see whether we're doing the crossword puzzle. Because we're sitting in the back and we think no one looks back there. But those of you who are teachers know that the class counts. All of it counts. God is your worst vision of a teacher. God always knows what's going on with you. God knows what's going on with us. God knew what was going on with Thomas. And for some reason, God cared about Thomas. Now, yes, I can tell you the reason is God loves the world. Why? I ask that question. If you're paying attention, I hope you do too. Sure, the world's a beautiful place. Tomorrow we're going to have an amazing celestial event. We can enjoy the beauty of God's creation. But what about us? What about what we do? And again, I can get myself depressed by thinking about all of the lousy things humans do. But we also do some pretty good things. And amongst those things is helping others. And yes, that may seem like an easy thing to do. But it isn't always easy to do. Because sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're busy. Sometimes we just don't want to be bothered. That doesn't stop our neighbors from needing our help. That doesn't stop us from needing God's love. And the way we know God's love is expressed through one another. Does that sound reasonable? Now, this is where I'd like some feedback. The thumbs up again would be good. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Betsy. But really, I've been to a communist country. It doesn't work. Because people run communism. Just as our own society has its problems. If you put people into the equation, we mess things up. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we follow instructions and ways of living that are spelled out for us by credible sources like Jesus. We can do okay. So I'm not calling for us to live in a theocracy. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But if our legislators, if our governing authorities, if our business leaders walked the path of Jesus and didn't tell us, hey, I'm great, I follow Jesus, but they actually followed him, this world might be a better place. Now, yes, they're going to have to argue about what it means to follow Jesus. And if they do that with respect and civility, I can tolerate that. And what I say for them applies to us too. We need, as a community, to continue to walk the path of Jesus. And some of you may have some ideas of how to do that. Some of you may not be able to articulate them, but in your gut, you'd have a strong sense of what it means to follow Jesus. I'm going to invite each of you to participate in a dialogue with me and with our church leadership over the coming months about what it means to follow the path of Jesus. And we're not going to grill you, but we'd like you to think about that question. What does it mean to follow the path of Jesus? And maybe that path is an unexpected one. Maybe we're called to do things that we never imagined. And this church does a lot. But this church can do more, as can all of us and any of us. In a few moments, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And when you come to take the bread and the cup, remember that this was the meal that was shared with us by Jesus. And this meal was the genesis of our Sunday worship. We in the Protestant tradition celebrate it once a month, maybe. But in other churches, in the Episcopal Church, in the Catholic Church, they do it every week. Think about that. The Lord's Supper is that important that people want to celebrate it every week. And yes, you could even go to extremes. We could do it every day. What would it mean to you if we celebrated communion on a weekly basis? And no, deacons, you don't need to worry. I'm not proposing a change to worship here. But it's worth thinking about. It's worth talking about. when you come to this table, my hope is that you remember what Jesus did for us. And you'll also think back to Easter and why that day is so important to us. God's love is infinite. And in our world of perceived scarcity, that's unexpected. Nobody can keep giving and giving and giving. But God can. What is our response going to be to that generosity? I will give you a hint, is that God cannot be played for a fool. God knows all of our tricks. And yet, for some reason, God still loves us. So maybe in the future, we will live in the world described in Acts, and humans will behave differently, and they will share what they have with one another, and they won't seek to exercise control over each other. I can't imagine that world. I'd like to be able to imagine that world. But part of doing something new is imagining something impossible. I don't have the answers figured out. If I did, I would have that $1.3 billion. And I'd sell lots of books. And then you'd be able to say, wait a minute, why are you making money off of that? And I would tell you, because I'm fallen. But just imagine we can get to that world. Just imagine that the things we have, the money in our bank account, all of the yardsticks we have for our success, aren't the ones by which we should be measured. Imagine that instead we are judged by the love we show for one another, the care we exercise for one another, what we give of ourselves. That future may be unexpected, but it doesn't need to be impossible. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the miracle of Easter. We thank you for the gift of the disciples and all those who have followed Jesus throughout the ages. Help us to follow him too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.